Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of Jesus Revealed, season 3, where we're looking at Jesus across scripture. And we have looked at Genesis, we have looked at Exodus. Today, we are looking at Leviticus, one of the books that we so often just skip over, glean over as believers. But we want to show that Leviticus as well has or carries a lot of truths with regards to Jesus. But the perspective that we're looking at today is we're looking at Jesus as the high priest and how there is a shadow when we're looking at Leviticus chapter 8 and chapter 9, where Aaron as well as his sons were being consecrated, as well as the Lord accepting Aaron's sin offering. To take us through this, we have none other than Pastor Miriam. Pastor Miriam, hello. Good to see you again.
Hi, Minister Zintle. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. I'm so pleased that you're here with us.
I'm excited to be
here. Yeah. So Pastor Miriam, let's go straight into it. When we're looking at the book of Leviticus, maybe just as a first question, if you can just take us through an overview of this book and even its then connection to the rest of the Bible. What can we learn from Leviticus?
Well, the book of Leviticus is one of a crucial component of what they call the Pentateuch, which means the five books in the Old Testament. It serves as a foundation, a guide for worship, for rituals, and also for priesthood in the ancient Israel. It normally outlines the laws, the regulations, the rituals the Israelites adhere to maintain this holiness and also a relationship with God. And one of the key aspects of Leviticus is the establishment of priesthood. Where Aaron and his sons were appointed as mediators. They were appointed as people that were going to be responsible for performing sacrifices and rituals on behalf of the Israelites. So to try and reconcile the community with God. So it sets a framework, and it framework provides foundation for understanding the high priesthood and its role and responsibilities, and also its significance in both the Old and the New Testament.
Great. It almost sounds like it's like the manual that the Israelites would look to when it comes to worship.
Awesome.
And maybe then if we can then just stick to, you touched on it around there's the priest, but then there's also the high priest.
Yes.
And we see that with Aaron and his sons. What was the function specifically of high priests in that time?
So as we read from Leviticus 8, verse 1 and 12, it discusses the anointing and the consecration of Aaron as the high priest. We read that the Lord instructed Moses to bring Aaron and his sons and wash them with water. This washing symbolizes the cleansing and the preparation for the holy sacrifice and for the holy office. Then Moses took the anointing oil and poured it over Aaron's head, anointing him and consecrating him for his role as a priesthood. In Leviticus chapter 9, we witness the actual commencement of this priestly office and ministry. Aaron offers sacrifices first for himself and then for the people to atone them of all the sins. Now, this sacrifice serves as a temporary means of the reconciliation between God and his people.
Sure.
However, they were insufficient on their own and had to be repeated regularly. You know, the high priest serves his role serves as a mediator between God and his people. The primary role involves offering sacrifice in the tabernacle, ensuring atonement, and also the right relationship with God. So initially in the Old Testament, Aaron had access, or he would bring people in relations with God. And he is, as a high priest, is seen as the only one who has authority or access to God. So he serves as a mediator between God and people. And Leviticus 9:7, we see Aaron offering sacrifices of a young bull and a ram for himself and also for the people. So as much as he's a high priest, but he's also offering sacrifices on behalf of his people.
Nice.
We also see him And we realized that these sacrifices were actually temporary.
Mm.
We needed something permanent in the New Testament, but we will link that as we unfold and unpack the scripture.
Yeah, and I think that's almost like the next question that I'd like us to go into, and maybe for our listeners and viewers to just connect that high priest and even Jesus.
Yeah.
Because in the New Testament, in certain passages, especially I think in the book of Hebrews, it does mention Jesus,
yes,
but it doesn't necessarily identify him in the order of the Levitical priesthood.
Yes.
It aligns him with the order of in the same order as Melchizedek. Mm. And what is the significance of this? Because you would think, or maybe in my mind, he would come into that order.
Yeah.
But he's in a very, very distinct order where we see a Melchizedek in Genesis and he just came and went. What is the significance of that? And what do they mean by that?
Well, Melchizedek is a mysterious figure introduced in Genesis 14, 18 to 20, where he is described as a king of Salem or priest of the God Most High. We see him blessing Abraham and receive the tithes from him, representing both royalty and priesthood.
Yeah.
So his name means King of Righteousness. He's also called the King of Peace.
Mm.
So, and this dual role of king and priest prefigures the nature of Jesus Christ, who embodies both authority and divine mediation. So the Leviticus from Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood established under the law of Moses,
mm-hmm.
where it was hereditary. It was passing through the lineage of Aaron. These priests offer sacrifice at the temple and mediates the conversation or covenant between God and Israel. In contrast, Jesus' priesthood is in the order of Melchizedek, which signifies a break from the limitations of the Levitical system.
Sure.
Being the priest not based on lineage, but mm-hmm. on the power of the indestructible life. We see that in Hebrews 7, verse 16, Jesus fulfills the role of a perfect and eternal priest. So Jesus' designation as a priest in the order of Melchizedek indicates his priesthood, that his priesthood is eternal, mm-hmm. is not tied to a specific time or cultic practices. We see in Hebrews 7, 24, which read, because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood.
This
everlasting priesthood assures believers that Christ's role as mediator does not change and his sacrifice is always effective.
Sure.
So the Melchizedek priesthood transcends from traditional Jewish sacrificial systems. In Hebrews 10, 14, it also emphasized that by one sacrifice, he has made a perfect forever those who were being made holy. So Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is seen as the ultimate fulfillment, rendering the old system obsolete.
Sure.
So he does not offer sacrifice repeatedly as Levitical priests would do, you know. Instead, his one-time sacrifice fully atones sin, establishing the new covenant. And hence we see John in John 1:29, when he sees Jesus approaching, he says, here comes the Lamb
of God
will cleanse away the sins of the unrighteous. So his priesthood serves as the once-off offering that will atone everybody's sins.
Sure. And even that, that was wonderful, Pastor Miriam. And even that sacrifice that he was offering was himself. So high priest that took himself as a lamb to God to atone.
Yes.
That's just powerful. And I'm sure there are people then that are asking that so what question around, okay, you've explained that. Yes, there was this order of high priests that was a shadow or a type to what Jesus would be.
Yes.
But to us as a present time believers, how do we benefit from Jesus's continued function as a high priest? Is there still something that we're benefiting from with Jesus still acting in that role?
Yeah, Hebrews 10:10 confirms that Jesus is a better high priest for all of us because his sacrifice is a once off.
Yeah.
So he's seated as we speak at the right hand of the Father, mediating on our behalf.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
a high priest because he's given us access to the Father. He's a high priest because he is a representative of the Father.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't have to, you know, sacrifice bulls and rams anymore. There's no need for us. You know, when I was growing up, my father was a traditionalist. And in our homes, we would sacrifice a chicken, a goat, because the understanding was that there was supposed to be a shedding of blood. And that sacrifice and also gives you access to ancestral worship so that you can get your blessings and everything that was in store for you. But now Jesus Christ came as the only sacrifice for us Christians in a way that we don't have to now slaughter goats and chickens to be accepted or to be declared holy. So Jesus Christ is actually the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for us. And hence it was once and for all. For all of us. So there's no need for us to go that route of the Levitical system where we need to sacrifice. There's no need for us to go through the high priest because when he was on the cross, the veil was torn, giving us direct access to the Father. And hence it is imperative that individually we cultivate this relationship with God where we fully understand as Christians that we actually have free access to our Father. And hence it is important for us to dwell. You know, and to eat the scroll and to worship God, you know, and to have this prayer lifestyle where we engage with him every day. We connect with him every day so that we are led. And what I love about Jesus Christ is that when he ascended, he then promised us that I'm not leaving you alone.
That's right.
I'm actually leaving you with a counselor and a comforter and a friend that sticks closer than a brother who lives in you. Who is in you, who guides you. So we are really assured of a partner that would never leave us nor forsake us, who's forever with us. So his atonement on the cross gave all of us access to the Father. Yeah. So we're excited and we love him because of that. Yeah. Because we don't have to go back to the Old Testament where we now are subjected to sacrifices.
Amen. And just to also add, we're also not just spectators, we've also come into the priesthood as well. Well, First Peter says we're a royal priesthood.
We are the royal priesthood.
And coming into that high priest. So it's quite exciting to imagine that those of us who are on the outside are not just on the inside, but we're also part of this line of priesthood.
That's so true. So true. You know, for in the Old Testament, is the Israelites to be consecrated and be declared holy.
Yeah.
They had to go through that. But for us, because of his sacrifice, we are now deemed as royal high priest, the holy nation, because of his atonement on the cross, you know, and crucifixion. Yeah. And hence we'll forever be grateful and worship him because of the sacrifice on the cross, because we fully understand what it meant for us, giving us that access, adopting us as heirs in the kingdom of God, which is what we love and appreciate, that we are adopted. We understand we are the heirs in the kingdom of God because of this atonement and his sacrifice on the cross.
Yeah. Actually, just when we're closing, I want to also just, because we've been referencing the book of Hebrews quite a bit, and I like this passage where I think it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, where I think the writer says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are. Yet without sin.
Yeah. Let us then approach
God's
throne of grace, with confidence
that
we are his.
Amen.
And that our sins are forgiven. Instead of always condemning ourselves and feeling guilty that there's something that I've done
that's
wrong.
Right.
We must be assured. And I think it also takes conviction where you know that your sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Miriam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I had a wonderful time.
Awesome.
God bless you. And I pray to everyone that has been listening, this was helpful in you looking at the book of Leviticus, because I think our hope all the time is for you to just go back to that word. Look at that order. Look at the ritualistics that were done for worship to be done and the role of those high priests, and then look at Jesus as the one who has fulfilled and continues to fulfill that role of a perfect high priest for us. So God bless you. Go back to your Bibles, and we'll see you next episode as we then dig in to Jesus revealed in all of Scripture. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen. That's Pastor Mira.